Welcome to Authentic Energy, a podcast dedicated to getting to the bottom of what it means to be your true, authentic self at work. I am your host, Wendy Brand. Let's take this learning journey together as I meet with guests weekly. Whether you are a leader or individual contributor, a teacher or a nurse, we'll share conversations and stories that highlight meaningful connections, self-awareness, a sense of belonging, and all the components necessary to create a workplace where you can show up in your authentic energy. Welcome back to Authentic Energy. I'm Wendy Brand, your host, and welcome back to our Transformation Tuesdays. These Tuesday episodes are designed to help give you insights, and help you navigate your week. They're meant to help create awareness of the things that you can control, to empower you. This week, we're going to dive deeper into the things that influence your energy. Last week, episode number 50, last Tuesday, I shared 7 different levels of energy. Each level is a reflection of an emotion that you're feeling, from apathy and anger to joy and absolute passion. And as a leader, whenever you take on your leadership role at home, at work, wherever, even in friendships, right, the way that you act or react to situations can define your success. You have to admit that when you're feeling apathy or anger, frustration, you're going to act or react very differently than you would if you were experiencing joy and absolute passion. For example, you've had a long day at work and you recently received bad news that you've been passed over for a promotion. You can't help but feel down when you first hear the news. That's natural, but you have a choice in how you move forward. So think of it as your own, you know, like a choose your own adventure. Behind door number one, you know, you found out you didn't get the promotion and you find out that the person that got the promotion instead of you was a colleague that you know is just not a nice person. You've seen him doing things that don't align with the organization's values and you know he's not a right fit for the position. You are enraged. You are reminded of all the other times that someone else has succeeded when it should have been you. Why does this always happen to you? That's door number one. Behind door number two, you find out that the person that got the promotion instead of you was a colleague that you know is mean-spirited. You've seen him doing things that don't align with the organization's values, and you know he's not a right fit for the position. And then it occurs to you that you were recently asked to chair the board of your favorite nonprofit, but you had been counting on getting the promotion and didn't think you'd have time to commit to dedicate that extra time to this nonprofit board. And this is the perfect opportunity to use that time to give back to that organization, which is what you've been wanting to do. So in the scenario behind door number one, you are resonating in a level one or level two energy. You went straight to victim mentality. And while it's okay to dip there momentarily and totally natural, you don't want to spend a lot of time there. Behind door number two, you found your level five energy, where you see everything as an opportunity, and you were able to find peace with the decision. So while it's totally normal, again, to experience these lower level emotions, it is a choice. And the cool thing is, I've talked some about this, and we talked a lot about this in the Reveal retreat in January, but our brain is really amazing, and scientists continue to learn so much about it. There are 3 key players that work together to make things happen for us. Our reticular activating system, they call it the RAS, it's like a bouncer outside a bar. It regulates what our brain prioritizes because we're just inundated with thoughts throughout the day. This particular part of our brain helps prioritize consciousness, motivation, behavioral arousal. It really controls what thoughts get through. And then the amygdala creates emotions. Based on those thoughts, it creates emotions, which trigger a release of dopamine in the case of positive emotions. And the prefrontal cortex controls processing, problem solving, learning new skills, and tracking value of action. So if you tell yourself you're going to have the best day ever, the reticular activating system lights up your brain with this belief and the thought. The amygdala creates a positive emotion and releases a little dopamine. Then your prefrontal cortex goes to work figuring out how this is going to actually happen. So even if you've just found out that you didn't get the promotion you were wanting, you can use your thoughts to create emotion, a little bit of dopamine, to get the engine started and reinforce your positive thoughts, which will just create more positive emotion and allow you to act and respond from that higher level of energy. So from a leadership perspective, you can start to see where leaders that are resonating in these higher levels of energy are the types of leaders that you want to be led by, and probably the type of leader that you want to be. These leaders come from emotional states of compassion, peace, and joy. These leaders have high emotional intelligence. They acknowledge and seek to understand the perspectives of their employees, and information flows freely and transparently in both directions, top down and bottom up. Decisions in strategy, in tactics, in policy, and even in daily work routines receive real buy-in because the pros and cons, the advantages and disadvantages are consciously reviewed. Interpretations are willingly challenged. Assumptions are examined. Agendas are transparent. And multiple alternatives are proposed, even when a course of action seems fairly obvious. They're proposed to see what truly is the best. And individuals advocate passionately for their ideas, which they believe are right, and listen intently when their views are challenged. This goes back to the concept of the five behaviors of a cohesive team. It's based on Patrick Lencioni's The Five Dysfunctions of a Team. And it's a program that I work with clients on, and the very basis of a high-performing, cohesive team is trust. But then the second level in these five behaviors, the second behavior is conflict, and that is that a team is able to have healthy conflict. And when you have a leader and really team members that are resonating at this higher energy, higher emotional intelligence, they are able to share their opinions, their ideas, and understand when they're not the idea, they don't have the idea that's selected. And so having that higher level of energy, building that trust so that you can have that healthy conflict is just critical to high-performing teams. And these types of leaders, they see gifts and strengths in others. They don't feel the need to tell people what to do or micromanage because they realize that everyone has their own answers and gifts. They have the ability to motivate and inspire themselves and others to do just extraordinary things. They have the ability to make energetic shifts in all levels of the organization. And the most successful organizations are those that are filled with powerful, positive, anabolic leaders. And that means everyone in the organization, not just the ones at the top. No matter how effective or ineffective you currently are in your role, you can transform yourself and others, as well as your organization, into a thriving, inspired, positive, productive, and successful entity when you lean on these higher levels of energy. Unfortunately, and this, you know, this may sound pie in the sky, you know, and maybe some of it is, you know, if we are all humans and we all have emotions and we choose to handle them in different ways. Unfortunately, you know, leaders that are primarily living in those higher levels of energy are not in every organization. Leaders coming from levels 1 and 2 are primarily living in either a victim mentality or a constant state of frustration. So these leaders manage rather than lead, wanting to control others, telling not just what to do, but how to do it. You know, that micromanaging, these leaders, in keeping control, keep the other people in the relationship in a powerless position. And then most likely complains to everyone around them that I can't seem to find good help, or, you know, no one does things as well as I do. We've all heard that, right? Leaders that aren't able to delegate. And it's hard. It's difficult. It's not easy. But it is possible. So when someone is leading from that lower level energy and tells or demands that someone do something, most likely the employee is going to respond at that lower level energy as well with, I won't, or I have to, or I need to. On the other hand, when leaders with a higher energy level request that someone do something or asks for someone's input on a project, the employee is much more likely to respond with the I want to or I choose to. The more higher level energy the leader, the greater the probability of success in the task. Doesn't that just sound like a better way to lead? So it's obvious which types of leaders and organizations we'd rather be, I hope. But now we're going to dive deeper into those six influencers that we talked about, I think it was episode 48, and this will give you a deeper understanding of the influencers of energy, and by bringing more awareness, we then are able to choose to act differently. So I had mentioned that there are six different influencers. There are mental influencers, social, environmental, emotional, physical, and spiritual. And so let's take a look at each of these. And as you listen, think about maybe if there's anything going on in your world in these areas that might be impacting your energy. So we'll start with mental influencers. Mental influencers involve your clarity as to what you're doing. It's your ability to remain focused on performing without being distracted, and whether the task is interesting and has the right degree of challenge for you. So if you find yourself bored at work, there is a mental influencer that is impacting your energy. You are not being challenged. And mental influencers detract from your energy when you multitask, when you stretch yourself too thin or have conflicting demands, you're distracted, and when a task either bores you, as we mentioned, or is too challenging for you even, that can be an example of a mental influencer in a negative way. So if we look at the flip side of that, when you're able to make sure you have a clear mind, when you're able to focus on one thing at a time, plan your day in a way so that you're able to have that focus and mental clarity throughout the day, it will really help your energy levels. And so next are the social influencers. Social influencers involve having the right amount and type of interaction with others you work or play with, and feeling supported before, during, and after those interactions. So we all know that we are all unique in the amount of the type of social interaction we prefer, whether we're introverts or extroverts, you know, whether our energy cup is filled when we are around people, or if we need to have alone time and downtime by ourselves to kind of replenish. So this may involve being surrounded by like-minded people who are excited about the same things that you are, or you may thrive in a culture that emphasizes individual versus teamwork. Social influencers detract from energy when social conditions aren't optimal for you, or when other people's catabolic energy affects your own energy. Even if you're excited about doing something, when others around you are naysayers, their reactions can affect your own energy and enthusiasm. This is an area that I've been focused on lately. Who we surround ourselves with can make a big impact on our energy. Think about your work environment, your home environment, the friends that you surround yourself with. Make sure that you are getting the support you need to keep those energy levels high. Next are the environmental influencers. Environmental influencers involve your belief that your environment will allow you to complete or enjoy the task you're about to do in the way that you'd like to. Environmental influencers detract from energy when you encounter an environment that you believe prevents you from functioning in an optimal manner or in the manner in which you're accustomed. If you have been working from home for the last 3 years and now you have a job where you need to be in the office every day, this will likely impact your energy, maybe in a positive way, maybe in a negative way. But it doesn't have to have a negative impact. Think about what you need. What are your non-negotiables for your environment? And think about the opportunities that exist for you in both situations. Then we have the emotional influencers. Emotional influencers involve how well your needs and desires are being met by what you're doing, how excited and enthusiastic you are about doing it, and whether you have the emotional control to be able to choose how to respond instead of react to any given situation. Emotional influencers detract from your energy when you feel as if your needs, your desires, or even your expectations are not being met. Or when you encounter a situation that you don't understand or don't know how to navigate. Or when you don't know how to effectively deal with your emotions. This can be a tough one, especially in the workplace. And I'm going to have another episode on emotions at work down the road. I think it's a really important one. Next are the physical influencers, which involve your awareness of what your body is telling you and how proactive you are in taking care of your physical self. For example, eating in a healthy way, exercising regularly, and practicing preventative care so that you're able to create the physical power that will best serve you to accomplish any given activity. And physical influencers detract from energy when your body is not able to function in an optimal manner or in the manner that you're used to. So lack of sleep, poor eating habits, being over or underweight, illness and injury can detract from your energy, as can asking your body to perform well past the limitations of its physical capacity. This is a big one for me right now. I'm really having to prioritize activities that enhance my physical ability, and I'm working on listening to my body more and listening for what it might be trying to tell me when I am tired and I need rest. But also, when I do push myself a little extra and gain energy from that, I'm just trying to find that right balance for me. And so it's just an area that I recommend taking a look at. And last, but definitely not least, is spiritual. And spiritual influencers aren't exactly what they may sound like. It does involve your purpose and your beliefs, but it also includes your values, your gifts, your personal gifts, your desires, your goals, in relation to what you specifically want to do and how you want to do it. Spiritual influencers detract from energy when whatever you're doing causes you to question or comes in conflict with your values, your purpose, your goals, your connection, your beliefs. And we know, I've shared my firsthand experience, that this one can lead to burnout. Probably all of these can lead you to burnout if not kept in check. Remember that your skills and talent don't change from minute to minute, but your energy does, and you can control that. So that's the breakdown of those six influencers. I hope that was helpful and just kind of adds to what we've been talking about related to energy, the energy levels, the depleters, and the igniters. And again, these concepts that I've shared again today are based on the education that I've received from IPET Coaching and Bruce Schneider. And that is our time for today. I hope that this has helped you, brought awareness to how you can influence your energy, how you can choose thoughts that create emotions and drives the way that we respond to things, how we act, that really we do have control. So if you've enjoyed this episode, please rate it, share it with a friend, and I'd love to hear what you're liking, what you're not liking. You can email me directly at wendy@wmbcoaching.com and let me know. Thanks so much for listening.